this is something that we've been working on for two or three sessions now. And, we looked towards Representative Pat Heinert, who's a retired county sheriff here in Burleigh County, and really just wanted to work on the increasing levels of violence towards our healthcare workers. You know, unfortunately, we see that increase in violence that is happening against our healthcare workers, and a lot of them are leaving the industry. So with that, we try to recruit in as many, excellent nurses, excellent staff as we can, but then we want to do what we can to keep them safe so they'll stay with us as well. So kind of the rationale behind this is, very similar to like firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMS providers. They're protected with a higher penalty. Healthcare workers, very similar to those occupations, cannot abandon their patients. So once, they're in our facility, by federal law, we are required to care for those patients. We can't just walk away and say, you can leave. So with that, we've asked for this, and we're working towards this increased penalty. We know that it works. This has been a law that's been in place for emergency room workers. If there's intentionally throwing a bodily fluids at those healthcare workers, we have demonstrated that we see this nice decline of assaults towards our staff. So we just really want to make sure we take care of our staff as best we can. This is on top of what we're already doing. We train our staff in de-escalation procedures, how to, self-protection type of training. And then as well as we have on our computer systems, we have alert systems. You hit a couple of specific buttons and it'll alert our security team, which we have 24/7 in place that they can respond to that at a moment's notice.
What do you make of the increase here? Why is this spiking?
Well, it's multifactorial. There's not a great explanation for exactly why it is. There is a lot of different factors. If you look at behavioral health, we do see increase in behavioral health issues throughout the population. And, we do feel that that does play into it. With that as well, we have a behavioral emergency response team where, if we do have somebody who is exhibiting, kind of behavioral health type of issues, we have one of our nurses that is trained specifically in behavioral health response, the emergency response, will respond to that situation, try to de-escalate it as well, and then follow up the next day to make sure everything is taken care of. And I think, it's very important to note that these penalties are not for people who might be demented. They might be confused. So, if it's a little old lady who is demented and they strike out, this isn't what it's designed for. It's for people who, are very upset and, they might throw a punch or kick somebody in the head, all of which have happened in our facility.
Well, I'm glad the legislature has recognized this and that the, penalties are increased. Obviously, that's all designed to be a deterrent, so that's great. Behavioral health continues to be something on the rise as well. People struggling with mental health issues. I understand the legislature, at your urging, went in and specifically did some things. Talk about what's new.
Yeah, I think, the legislature has always been very strong supporters for behavioral health programs, as well as, former Governor Burgum, Governor Armstrong. It's very important for them as well. He came out, Governor Armstrong, in his initial speech, talked about how to increase the behavioral health the programs that we have. So they continue to fund the existing programs that are out there, but then they're also increasing access. So, for the first time, they've provided funding specifically to providers. And, this wasn't to Sanford, but it was to a lot of our partners throughout the state. There's new psych beds going in Altru and Grand Forks. CHI here in Bismarck has funding for additional psychiatric beds. And then Williston, some additional funding for them to be able to put some beds in place. So having those existing beds not only increases that access, but also, the funding for the new state hospital. There were a couple of proposals of how we approach that, but really, really getting that state hospital up to where it needs to be. This is the state's capacity to really care for those most severely mentally ill patients where they have nowhere else to go. Now they can leave our facilities and go to where they can more appropriately be treated, and it helps increase our beds, open our beds, so that way we can serve those patients in our communities with those more acute mental health emergencies. So the state really has done a great job of supporting and funding those programs that we need to be able to continue to take care across the spectrum of behavioral health needs.
And we continually hear from law enforcement that there's a shortage of beds. And then, you know, again, people are back on the streets that shouldn't be. And they're, you know, they're reoccurring, you know, in interactions with law enforcement. So it's a bad deal. Glad to hear that happen. I know there's a crisis continually in the your workforce to be able to provide the care. How about on that front from the legislature? Any help there?
Yeah, again, great help from the legislature in that arena. You know, when we look at how do we continue to recruit to North Dakota, we only have so many high school graduates that, you know, graduate and then they pick healthcare careers and then they stay in the state. So how do we supplement that? You know, one of the things, you know, licensing boards in the state are charged with making sure that, you know, they keep the public safe to make sure that the people that are working here in the state are who they say they are and they're credentialed for that. So they do licensure for that. You know, now we have interstate licensure compacts. So say you're down in Colorado and you want to move to North Dakota, you've got to start the process over, but you've been practicing there for a long time. Now, across a variety of areas, dietitians, social workers, occupational therapists, you know, those were added this year, in addition to previous ones in behavioral health arena, psychologists, LPCT, it really just streamlines that state licensing process so that we can hire professionals that we can get into the state quicker to be able to add more people. And we've been able to really utilize that program to bring in hard-to-find specialists where we've not been able to before. Secondly, you know, if you look at, you know, at Stanford, we've been utilizing in internationally educated nurses, and that's been a very, very successful program. So every single bed that we have in our facility has been staffed, and we make sure that we continue to keep it staffed, and we've utilized that program. Well, now that the UND had additional funding for the School of Law, they now have an immigration clinic. You know, immigration is very complex. There's a variety of different programs. So how do we now make sure we're navigating that piece and we have the expertise in the state so that way we continue to impact the international nurses program, not just for Stanford, but a lot of these critical access hospitals and other hospitals throughout the state that are looking to utilize the program as well. So that's been very, very helpful to get that expertise locally. And then as well, the Career Builders Program, you know, this is a public-private partnership that we continue to hire workers that are in these high demand areas. So, you know, we not just ask for, you know, legislative support, but then we also put money into the program to be able to give opportunities for people to take advantage of that program to get into a career that they can help us in the healthcare arena.